T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's happening, Tiki and Tierney, coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So we're a day away from baseball, which is great. Pretty pumped up about that. Gerrit Cole, and well, not in pinstripes, he's on the road, but first Yankee start against Scherzer, the world champions, get us going, and things start to feel pretty real out there, T.
They definitely are. Baseball is here this week, tomorrow to be exact. Actually, today, the scrimmages for the NBA start. Next week, the NBA play-in or seeding games, they get underway, followed by Saturday, the NHL playoffs get under. So sports are back, man. American sports are back.
That's right.
Not soccer like I've been watching all day today, because Manchester United's playing, Liverpool's playing. They get their trophy raised for winning the Premier League today in about 15 minutes or so. NASCAR, all those other sports that we've watched, cricket, golf, but we like golf. So that's different.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the sports that I'm watching just because there's no other sports to watch. Now we get to watch the ones we love, and it's happening soon. And most importantly, seemingly the COVID testing has gone pretty well for a lot of the leagues, and that's a good thing, positive sign.
It's been a great, great sign. Hockey, just the two positive tests, and the NBA with none. Their most recent set, obviously football has just started. Things are trickling in there, but even the signs there are very favorable. Baseball's dealt with a few, but they seem to have isolated it. So, yeah, I mean, here we go. All systems go. And courtesy of James Jones, I think we've got our first, bold prediction in a while. James Jones, former Packer, played there for 8 years, part of the NFL Network and Adams. We've had him on the show a couple times. It's been a while, but we've had him on the show. And here's what he was dishing about his buddy Aaron Rodgers going for the MVP. Here's Jones.
The chip that Aaron Rodgers already has on his shoulder from them drafting Jordan Love, and everybody saying that he's not the old Aaron Rodgers and he can't do this and he can't do that. And then the Madden ratings come out and they got him at an 89. And I'm telling you, he is going to win the MVP of the National Football League this season.
Again, NFL Network. So he didn't sound drunk. He didn't sound compromised. He sounded fairly in control. Listen, it's not a ludicrous take.
No.
But there was some erosion in Aaron Rodgers' skill set a year ago. What do you think about what Jones said?
Aaron Rodgers was 36 last year. He's not near the end. He can, could give us 3-4 more years and still play at a really high level. But he was spectacular last year. He threw 4 interceptions on the season, BT.
I didn't think he was spectacular.
Well, I mean, as a team, they were spectacular. And when a team is spectacular, you give it to the quarterback. At least you put it on the quarterback.
Well, then why didn't he get a lot of votes last year?
Because I'm getting to where James Jones is wrong. So the reality is, as good as they were, and if you're just watching from afar, and they won 13 games. He threw 4 interceptions. You say, that's a fantastic season. 26 touchdowns, over 4,000 yards. Who wouldn't want that from their quarterback? And especially if they get to the NFC Championship game. So, I mean, of course, Aaron Rodgers had a spectacular season because the team had a spectacular season. But at the end of the day, we all know what really drove the Green Bay Packers last year. It wasn't Aaron Rodgers. It was their run game led by Aaron Jones, and Jamal Williams had some burn there as well as a receiver out of the backfield. So they got it done with Aaron playing smart, clean football, but everybody else contributing as well. They didn't have any superstars at wide receiver, right? I don't think they had a receiver over. Did they have a? I don't think they have a receiver 1,000 yards.
Adams is pretty good.
I know, but he didn't have 1,000 yards. That's my point.
Because Rodgers wasn't spectacular.
He didn't need to be because it was all on their run game and all on their defense. Yeah. And you know, you look at this team; they were middle of the road, 18th in total yards and 18th in total defense and, you know, 15th in scoring. Like they were nothing special. And so if you're nothing special, you're not winning the MVP. It's a great thing to say because Aaron Rodgers has a chip on his shoulder about Jordan Love. Jordan Love's not a threat for at least 2 more years, and especially with no preseason and offseason this year, Jordan Love's not even part of the conversation. And the only reason he's going to play is if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, and we hope that doesn't happen because football is better when Aaron is playing.
That's for sure. You know who he was last year?
Who's that?
I think you'll agree with this assessment.
Go ahead.
This comparison. He was Alex Smith. He was Alex Smith, a good athlete.
Oh, wow.
No turnovers, good completion percentage, and 26 touchdowns.
Wow. That's
what he was.
I would say that's harsh, but it's kind of respect. It's like a respect thing. You're steady.
Yes.
Win. You don't cause any problems. You have good team around you. You put the players that you – that you have, whether they're good or not,
in better games,
in better positions to be successful. You win games.
Yep.
I mean, in a sense, that is kind of who he was.
It's not a diss, but here's listen, you have to.
It'll come off as a diss, even though it's not a diss
for sure. Listen, you hear, it was Alex Smith. It's a downgrade, because Alex Smith on his best day could never, shine Aaron's shoes on Aaron's best day.
Yeah,
because from a talent point of view, Aaron's one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time. But
that's right.
We have to acknowledge. And this is where I'm going to disagree. Well, I don't even know if disagree with you because you're pretty much saying the same thing. Although how we interpret Rodgers last year, maybe we branch off in a little bit of a different direction, I guess. But his last great season was in 2016. That's 3 full years ago, all right? Now, he hasn't had over 4,500 yards since, nor has he had over 26 touchdowns since. That's 3 years. Now, in 2019, just to give people a little point of reference, 2019, there were 12 players who threw for 26 touchdowns or more, okay? So that's what he had. A lot of company. Relatively nominal achievement, if you look at the numbers, based on 12 quarterbacks, there's only so many teams. In 2018, same deal. 12 quarterbacks had 26 touchdowns or more. Now, let's branch away from Rodgers for a moment and start throwing at the old dartboard guys who really will be in Rodgers' way to win the MVP. Obviously, Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Lamar Jackson. I would say Deshaun Watson, obviously, if Hopkins was still there. So I won't say obviously, but I'll throw him a little respect. You have to throw, obviously, this is, although he not obviously, because he never gets votes.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson
should.
Drew Brees. Carson Wentz, I believe, is poised for a big bounce back. Matt Ryan. I've already thrown Kyler Murray, on the back end of the MVP race. I expect a big pop. And now consider these names. What if Baker goes bonkers with all that weaponry? What if Dak clicks with McCarthy? Oh, yeah, and CeeDee Lamb. I think Stafford has a really bounce-back season. And, there's Tom Brady. So those are 11 guys.
Yeah. No,
just
it's a lot.
There.
There's a lot. There's a lot of competition this year. And, look, you look at Aaron Rodgers from the last few years. One was injury-riddled, so we'll count that one out back in 2017. But 2016 was a spectacular season because who else was scoring for them? Who else was doing the hard work? So last year – yeah, he had 4,000 yards and 26 touchdowns, but part of that is because he didn't have to throw for 40 touchdowns. Aaron Jones had, 20 touchdowns last year, or 16 rushing touchdowns and 20 total, whatever it was. It was a ton. And so the spread has the spread of, I don't know, influence on this
riches.
Team.
Riches.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's gone away from just the quarterback.
Yeah, but Fatigue, has it gone away because the Packers acknowledge internally he's a different Aaron Rodgers?
No, I think because you go back to the years that they were competing and almost in winning a Super Bowl, and it was all of that. It was all Aaron Rodgers in a sense, but you know, that doesn't win. How many times have they been back? They haven't. You can't win with one guy. You need other stars to be able to step up. And look no farther than, you know, what we're seeing with the Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Mahomes is fantastic, and he's one of the young icons and maybe the face of the National Football League. Maybe he is the face of the National Football League right now, especially with a $500 million contract. So when you look at him, look at who's around him, right? Tyreek Hill is one of the best players in football. Travis Kelce is one of the best tight ends in football. Chris Jones just got broke off as a D tackle, right? They got great talent around him who are great players.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers hasn't had that. And so when you look at, you know, the success or lack of success, they've been good. I'm not saying they're not a good team, but the lack of success in the postseason and getting back to a Super Bowl, it's because you can't put it all on one person. You got to have a diversified unit offensively and defensively. The Packers have finally realized that. I mean, and maybe that was a big issue with Mike McCarthy. Oh, hey, Aaron, you figure it out. Well, you're great. Everybody says you're great. You'll figure this thing out. You don't win like that in a team sport.
I don't disagree with that. I'm gonna summarize it this way for you. Because I gave you some numbers that I think paint a pretty interesting picture as to, you know, where he rates statistically. And I'm not saying stats are the end-all, be-all, but let's face it, they're how we're measured and how they're measured. I mean, everything is there's an orientation with numbers. I mean, you know, what does a TV show generate? What does a radio show generate? What does a quarterback's QBR? There's numbers for a reason. I'm not saying they're always perfect, but they're there for a reason. Okay, so I don't feel... Now, let me backtrack. When I watched Aaron Rodgers in his prime, I felt every Sunday I was getting a real hearty piece of Michael Jordan pie, a little sliver of Tiger Woods, a little sliver of Gretzky in his prime, or Trout, or a young A-Rod. I mean,
you're not seeing that now.
The one throw a week, the little flashback.
Yeah.
I don't see MJ, you know, breaking off, 50 on somebody or going double nickel against the Knicks or Gretzky basically going for 200 points in a season or Mike Trout maybe being as great as Willie Mays and Babe Ruth. I don't see that.
No. And look, Aaron Rodgers is not going to win the MVP in 2020. It's not going to happen.
No, I know, but is he
because
still great?
Their team isn't set up for him to win an MVP. They're not winning because of him.
But is he still great?
Is he still great?
Still great.
He's still really damn good.
That's not what I asked. Is he still great?
But I'm not going to disparage one of the great players of our generation by saying he's not great anymore.
Well, but
he's not. But it's not. That's not the point. He doesn't need to be. You know, he needed to be great for a lot of these years because who else was doing it for them? I think they've gotten smart. Team building is one of the most important components of a championship DNA in the NFL, and it's not just get a great quarterback. We fall into this cliche, and it's a stupid one. Oh, it's a quarterback league. Of course it is. Of course you need a good quarterback, but you don't need a world beater to win the Super Bowl. You just need somebody who's not going to make mistakes, and you have to have good teams around them, good skill position players, dynamic skill position players, a defense that can hold up and make stops when you need to. That's how the Pats did it. You know, Tom Brady's been good. He had a couple MVP seasons, but he hasn't been a world beater every year that they've won a Super Bowl. And so I think that, you know, the template is talked about too much, focusing on quarterbacks. When in reality, when you start to build a solid team, that's when you get success, like the Packers had last year and get into the NFC Championship game.
I don't disagree.
And even then, they were still deficient because they got run through against the 49ers. You know what I mean?
It wasn't even a game.
It wasn't even a game.
Yeah, listen, Teague, I don't disagree with anything you just said, but that's a different, at least a different branch of the tree.
Yeah.
You think about how we started the show. James Jones played with Rodgers, played the NFL.
Yeah.
Good broadcaster. says he's going to win the MVP. All right, let's have the discussion. I ripped through 11 names that I think are as viable or in some cases far more viable. Some I'm obviously extrapolating a lot from last year and anticipating more growth this year, like Murray and maybe Baker Mayfield with a different coach, whatever. But the point remains, you know, Russell Wilson, if we want to talk about how all those years Aaron Rodgers had deficiencies around him, Russell Wilson's offensive line is perennially among the worst in football.
True.
You know, DK Metcalf, you know, popped a little surprisingly because he was thought to be a freak specimen but not a refined receiver.
Yep.
He is. You know, he made Baldwin into a star. Really, a myriad running backs.
Let's not, Beast,
that's not enough for me. An MVP just does it, independent of what's around him.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing. Just as an aside with Russell Wilson, he also had some great defenses around him those years he was going deep into the postseason and getting to the Super Bowl, right? Now, but this question is about Aaron Rodgers and the MVP. And James Jones is putting this pressure, or at least we're having this conversation from his perspective, on Aaron Rodgers to win an MVP because that just sounds good. Mm-hmm. Hey, go win an MVP, Aaron Rodgers, and you'll get right back to the Super Bowl. Second year, Matt LaFleur's system. What can go wrong? But the reality is Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to win an MVP for them to be good. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to win an MVP if they are going to stay good. It's going to be a combination of their run game and an improved defense and things of that nature. That's what matters if you're in Green Bay right now. Yeah, we love Aaron Rodgers. We love talking about the individual stars. But at this point, it's not about Aaron Rodgers anymore.
Let me read something for you, and then I have a question for you. Okay?
Go ahead.
Let's see. This is about Russell, but it's going to tie into something else. So, Wilson, since he entered the league back in 2012, never missed a game. Mm-hmm. He's won 86 times. Only Brady's won more in that span. And he's thrown for the seventh most yards and the fifth most touchdowns. Of all the quarterbacks since 2012, only Cam has rushed for more yards. All right. And then since 2017, his greatness has been further magnified. Is there a possibility that Russell Wilson is halfway home to a career that ultimately will be better than Aaron Rodgers? I believe the answer could be very easily yes, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm going to defer to you. Well, at least not defer, because I believe it's Russell, or it could be. But I do want to hear your opinion.
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting one. Because, what are we looking at ultimately? When it's all said and done.
Winning and stats.
Yeah, so it comes down to winning and statistics. But which one has more weight? Because Russell Wilson is the perennial winner, but he's never won an MVP. And when we talk about him in the MVP, it's like, yeah, he's there, but he's third or fourth in the conversation. Whereas Aaron Rodgers has won an MVP, and he's won a Super Bowl, just like Russell Wilson has as well. Mm-hmm. But we always kind of want to position him as the MVP-type player because he's always had this skill set that we've revered and we lionize and we champion about him. But I think, and I'll go back to this point, if Aaron Rodgers wins the MVP, I don't think the Packers are as good as they were last year. It's just the reality of the football build, of how this team is built. So if he's winning MVPs, then something's gone wrong with the Green Bay Packers. And they're likely not competing for a Super Bowl like they were last year.
I think it's amazing how overlooked Russell Wilson has been. Mm-hmm. It's the guy's been running for his life and making these freak circus throws. You know, Mahomes done it for a year or two. Russell Wilson's been doing it since 2012. I mean, you know, against the grain, 50 yards, you know, on a clothesline without barely looking, off his back foot to the corner of the end zone. I mean, a guy is just, he's a magician. He plays every week. He wins. Let's face it, if they had a quarterback that was 80% of Russell Wilson, which is a pretty hefty number, 80%, you know, not terrible score to test, 80%, all right, got an 80, whatever. 80% of Russell Wilson, they'd be 7-9 every year. That's how much he elevates them, Russell Wilson.
That's right.
And he still doesn't, whatever reason, get the respect. I know it's about Rodgers, but I find it interesting to kind of tie the two in here. So here's another quarterback that's always polarizing. That is Dak. Our buddy JLC had a pretty interesting column And he points to Dak as a pioneer. In what regard? We'll tell you. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227 here on the Tiki and Tierney Show. 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Just visit geico.com to learn more. Some good quarterback stuff out of the chute, Tiki and Tierney. Hope everybody's doing well. Great Wednesday to you around the country. Appreciate you hanging with us. Our poll question, want you to jump in, give it a vote. Right now it's basically dead even, 50.8% to 49.2%. The question, based on James Jones's assertion, former Packer, NFL Network analyst, that Rodgers will win the MVP in 2020, short and sweet, is Rodgers still an MVP caliber quarterback? So actually a few more votes since I just said that. Now, yes, still elite. It's up to 53.5%, so it's very tight. Which is interesting. It was fun. If you want to jump in and get us on Twitter, I also want to remind you, so follow us on social media at Tiki and Tierney, our new YouTube channel.
Nice.
We got to start pumping this up. It's been there for a little bit. We have not really hit it. There's great content every day. It's uploaded. It's on point. It's the best of what we do. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. And obviously, once you get there, don't forget to subscribe for more great content. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. It looks good, right, Tiki?
Yeah, it does. And make sure you hit the little bell that's just below the icon that lets you know, that will alert you every time we put up new content.
That's right.
It does look good. It's a good look for us. CBS Sports Network does a great job of pumping out these videos of some of the things we do, including inbounds and out of bounds and some of the great discussions that we have, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, now there's a place it's all stored. You missed stuff, even, you know, as far back as a couple of weeks ago. It's called the Tiki and Tierney Vault. They do a really good job with it. More people need to know about that. We're going to start popping that pretty hard. All right, so Jason Lockenfora wrote something on CBSSports.com. Mm. And that's an interesting angle. Yep. I don't necessarily agree, but it's still an interesting, unique take. In terms of the trailblazer aspect, I'll let you really take this, but just to set it up quickly, while most eyes are on Patrick Mahomes as being a contractual trailblazer or a pioneer based on his most recent deal, JLC asserts that it's actually going to wind up being Prescott who is viewed through that prism as we move deeper into his career.
Yeah, no, and the interesting thing is it's actually not Dak Prescott. It's Kirk Cousins who is the pioneer here. The reality is that it's really hard to get a franchise quarterback to say, I'm giving up 10 to 12 years of my new future earning potential to right now. Right, the present value of money is not as valuable as the future value of money, especially when the salary cap is expected to, you know, rise significantly in the next few years. There's a new TV deal that's going to be negotiated next season. League revenues have just been going up and up and up. You know, a few years ago, it was 10, 11 million. Now it's 50, or billion, I should say. Now it's 15 billion. And so if you're a businessman as an athlete like Dak Prescott is, he's not going to wrap himself into a 5-year deal, or certainly not a 10-year deal, because he knows that in 3 to 5 years he can renegotiate and get even more money. Now Dak's deal right now is really compelling, and I've said this, you know, going back months, BT, he's better off playing on the franchise tag because, one, the Cowboys just didn't have money to sign him like he wanted to be signed, and two, it's just better for him. He's not going to get hurt because quarterbacks don't get hurt. The only downside is the only risk is playing horribly, but I don't think that's going to happen because he's played pretty well for the first 4 years of his career. Mm-hmm. So if he plays well, he gets another franchise tag. In 2 years, he makes $70 million. In the first 3 years of Pat Mahomes' deal, let's forget about the $500 million on the back end. In the first 3 years, he's only making $63 million. Yep. So Dak is more likely, and this according to JLC, is more likely to be the example that quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, are going to follow. Give me a short deal, right? Kirk Cousins, give me a franchise deal for 1 year and 2 years, or a 3-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings that's fully guaranteed. Give it to me. I know I'm not going to get hurt because you can't touch a quarterback right now, and I can re-up every other year or so. That's actually the smart way to do it, but it's not team-friendly like Pat Mahomes' was.
You know, he's the amount of energy on Prescott is really interesting, and there's still no resolution yet. We don't know. I mean, we don't know what he's going to be. Like when he hits his ultimate upside. The good thing is we know what his floor is, and his floor is a pretty good space.
No,
might not be the penthouse, but it's still pretty good.
He's never going to be horrible. He's just not that quarterback. Like, yeah. He doesn't make stupid mistakes. He's not trying to be like a gunslinger. He's not Baker Mayfield. He's not Jameis Winston. I can fit it into that little tight window. He's just not going to make that throw. Now, the upside doesn't come with that, right? That spectacular, game-changing type play also doesn't happen. But again, back to the Aaron Rodgers conversation. Why did the Green Bay Packers go to the NFC Championship game this year? It's because Aaron Rodgers wasn't trying to win the MVP. He was just trying to be good for his team and not make mistakes. 4 interceptions on the season. He didn't get a ton of touchdowns. I mean, it was 26 is a lot, but still, it wasn't like he threw for 35 touchdowns. It's because he didn't have to. Mm-hmm. If you can turn around and hand the ball off to Aaron Jones and go score as opposed to risking throwing the ball downfield to score, do that, right? It's easier. And so I think that's that's where we find Dak, is he's not going to be, a number one quarterback in the National Football League. But he is going to be the guy who can steadily lead your team, and that costs money for franchises, especially if you do short deals.
All right, let's get the update from Ack. A little inbounds, out of bounds on the other side. Good quarterback stuff out of the chute. Ack's turn coming at you, ready to wheel and deal right now. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney back. It's time to ask the pros here. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros and make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teague and I will answer the best one for you. So fire them in. We'll go through them. We'll take care of that. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. I want to let you know again. We'll be telling you about this a lot here. Let you know that we just fired up the YouTube channel. Follow us on social media. It's at Tiki and Tierney. This will be all the content every day. It's uploaded. TV's been doing a great job with this. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Make sure you subscribe. Click that little bell. Get the fresh content with the alerts. And let's get that thing going. So there you go. Baseball tomorrow. Hoops tonight. And here we go, Teak. Right back in the mix, buddy. What we've been waiting for.
Yep, right back in the mix. And baseball is making a splash before their opening day tomorrow. Mookie Betts getting a big, big deal, looks like. We'll get some of the details a little bit later. I think it's in inbounds and out of bounds as well. But 13 years reported, $380 million. It's big numbers for Mookie.
A lot of scratch. We saw what Harper got. We saw what Arenado get. We saw what Garrett Cole got, north of 300. Yep, that is in inbounds, out of bounds, which leads us to it. Time for a little IBOB. Let's go, D-Cell. Kick it, buddy.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, so after the NBA announced they'll allow players to display social justice messages on their jerseys, the NFL's following suit. They've got a different plan, though. The league will reportedly allow players to place the name or initials of a victim of racial injustice on their helmets, in or out. The NFL's plan to have names of victims on the helmets is a more powerful visual than the NBA's pre-approved messages on jerseys.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that, BT, because I think they're equally impactful and equally meaningful in I think what we've seen, at least in the NBA so far and the bubble, is guys are using their media platforms, meaning media availability, to talk about social justice, things that are important to them. And, they'll talk about basketball when the games are actually started being played, I'm sure. But right now they're using it to their advantage to highlight what's important to them. And the NFL is going to give them the same opportunity. So I can't say one is greater than the other. I think they're both doing a great job addressing this the right way.
Yeah, I'm going to say out of bounds here. I'm, powerful. If I was to substitute the visible, visible visual, I would probably say that, just based on the flow of an NBA game with some prolonged stoppages, guys get fouled. You know, you usually, I don't know what the exact average is, but teams take at least, you know, 20-something free throws a night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of stoppages. You focus on the back of a jersey. You have a conversation if you want, depending upon who's doing the game. But with the NFL, yeah, guys are in the huddle for sure, but, you know, you're usually going through a replay. The color guy's doing his job. It's just the pacing is different. So from a visibility point of view, the jerseys are probably better.
Yeah.
But from a powerful, a potency point of view, I think they're equally potent. So I would say out of bounds to that one.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, speaking of the NBA, Jimmy Butler wants, he doesn't want anything on the back of his jersey, right? He wants to have the nameplate taken off.
Yeah,
huh?
He's trying to go anonymous.
He is.
Play the game. It's all about the team.
Yeah, well, he better not be anonymous in the fourth quarter, otherwise Miami's not going to be able to accomplish what we're about to ask here. They're fourth in the East. All right, 41 wins, and they're going to have a full, healthy roster heading into the bubble. Now, Udonis Haslem said the team is employing a no-complaint rule inside the bubble.
Ain't complaining. Ain't nobody complaining, man. We got a no-complaint rule. You know, everybody coming in every day, you know, we understand it's, you know, different circumstances. You know, we understand that, you know, we're probably going to be a little more sore than usual. You know, not as much downtime to rest and relax. Not as much leisure time. But I'm just happy with my guys that nobody complaining, man. Everybody coming in with a, you know, a lunch pail mentality every day to get it done. You know, we understand that, you know, everything is condensed and we got a short amount of time to get a lot of work done.
That's a good attitude. Inbounds, out of bounds. The Heat are legit threats to come out of the Eastern Conference.
I'm going to say out of bounds to that, BT. And it's not a knock against them. I like Jimmy Butler a lot. But the way the roster is constructed right now, I try to find who's scoring, man. I know Dragic. Yeah, Jimmy. But what happens if someone, you go shut down Jimmy?
Well, what happens if somebody shuts down Giannis? We talked about Middleton.
Yeah, Eric Bledsoe's a good player. I mean, Bam could be a good. I mean, look, he's averaging 16 points a game or so.
Now,
obviously, Kendrick Nunn's a really good young player.
Yeah.
But I think, I think the Bucks are better. I think that the Celtics are better.
Okay.
And probably Toronto, too.
No.
Be honest with you. We talked about this, BT.
Toronto's not better.
Yeah, but they're just so well coached. And I'm not optimistic that the Heat are going to get out. That's just my gut from right now. And again, anything could happen because it's a bubble restart. And
uh-huh.
It is what it is. We talk about this every week, it seems. But I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say a hearty inbounds here. Listen, there's going to be some occurrences during this this resumption of the season that are going to be perplexing. Some heavyweight's going to get bounced.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that has no business playing for an extra month or so, or maybe deeper, is going to find a way to permeate the ranks of the Cinderella, if you will. But if the Miami Heat are playing in the NBA Finals, or even before that, the Eastern Conference Finals, like, I would not look at that as a high level of overachievement. I really wouldn't. I mean, yeah, listen, Budenholzer is very good. Giannis is going to win the MVP, the Defensive Player of the Year award as well. First of all, Eric Spoelstra has already won championships. All right, so he's a championship head coach.
Yeah.
They're a championship franchise with Riley. They got a bucket getter in the fourth quarter in Jimmy. They've got a couple lockdown defenders. They have a couple of the shooters who can get hot over the course of a couple of weeks. Bam Adebayo, to me, is by far the most improved player. Him or Siakam in the NBA, but I would probably vote for Bam. So to me, I look at this and I'm saying, well, what are they missing? And they're not really missing anything. So they're the fourth seed right now. I hear you. We disagree. They're better than Toronto in a seven-game series. Can they beat Boston? Yeah. Could they beat Milwaukee? Sure. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to say in bounds. They could do it.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Tiki mentioned this before. Mookie Betts getting paid as the former American League MVP. Just got a monster contract from the LA Dodgers. The reports are around 13 years, whatever it might be. There were a lot of reports going around this morning, and it was confirmed by all the main baseball guys. But it's between, I don't know, whatever. It's for 13 years, but it's about $350 million. Meaning he's going to make right around $35 to $37 million a season. Now, as of now, there's only three players making more than $35 million per season. So, in or out, Mookie Betts is worthy of being a top five highest paid player.
Top five highest paid player. Well, you know, I mean, what does that even mean? Like, you're worthy of being a top five highest paid player. I think it's more... can you negotiate yourself into being a top five a highest paid player. I'm going to say inbounds, you know, right now. He's 13th on per average at 29 and a half or so. And so it's not like he's breaking the mold, so to speak. But over the last 4 years, he's been top 10 in the MVP voting, obviously winning back in 2018. And he's a great on-base guy, scores a ton of runs. He's likely not going to, you know, be a 500 career home run hitter at the end of the day. But that doesn't mean that he's not a great player. It will be for the LA Dodgers. So is he top five? I'll say inbounds, but I don't know even that what that means, to be honest with you.
I'm going to say out of bounds. As a matter of fact, I texted our guys this morning. I said, I think they're going to lament this contract. Not lament heavily, and it's not a diss. Mookie is a star. But if I'm handing out, you know, 12 or 13 years, I have to do it for somebody that when the natural attrition sets in, there is still some sort of statistical benchmark or gate attraction that inspires fans to want to go and watch said player, right? So Mookie's not going to hit 500, and I know that the benchmarks are a little different. I obviously understand that, but he's not going to hit 500 bombs. He's not going to get 3,000 hits. I based on the projections, I don't think so. He's a fantastic player, but he's going to start to run less. You know, last year he already ran less. He only had 16 steals. So, you know, I think it's bad business to give somebody who's 27 in the season in which they get the contract a 13-year deal.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryce Harper's going to hit 500 or 600 home runs. So is Mike Trout.
Yeah.
You know, Arenado's going to do the same. And then there's value there. Gerrit Cole, when you can actually put fans at the stadium. Yankees gave him a ton of money, but the Yankees will put, you know, 48,000 people in the building when Gerrit Cole's pitching because he can strike out 18 guys.
And what you're talking about value is milestone value, right? When you get to a milestone, it's just valuable. You can promote around it. It's part of A-Rod's deal with the Yankees in so many ways. And when they try to claw that stuff back because of the steroid stuff, it became an issue. Mookie's not going to be the milestone guy. You're right. But, again, I position this as if you can go get it, go get it. And if you deserve it because you've been so good as a hitter. But he's also one of the great fielders in baseball right now.
He is.
He's got like almost a 99.2% fielding percentage.
Well, forget about that. His catch rate is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, right? So I think he's valuable. But it's not valuable like I want to go buy a Mookie Betts jersey when he's 35 years old.
Here's the other issue, too, and I think you have to incorporate this because we saw – now, Jeter was a benchmark guy with the 3,000 knocks. But, you know, when you're a career, you know, guy for one team, there's sentiment there. There's a different level of adulation.
Yep, we brought him up.
We
saw him from the very beginning.
He's ours.
Won a World Series for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That might not happen with the Dodgers.
Well, it won't because he's not a Dodger. He spent 6 years in Boston.
That's what I mean. I mean, he might not even win a World Series with the Dodgers.
Who knows, right?
I mean, if you're paying him this much, you hope that they do. But still, he might not.
They might not. You never know. Baseball's unpredictable in terms of that stuff. He is a guy, and then you got to look at the younger wave of players, like the Acuñas who got 100 mil, whatever. But, you know, the Tatises and guys. I mean, I don't see a place. My answer is out of bounds. I will use the term slightly lament this deal when it's probably about 75 to 80% done.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teek, let's get to this. Multiple leagues are obviously battling and juggling how to include crowd noise into games. No fans, as we know. The NBA is going to pipe in some crowd to broadcast while Major League Baseball is pumping in the crowd directly inside the stadiums, which gives a different ambiance for the players, obviously. So they're going to take that video from the video game MLB The Show. One player, though, this is Joey Votto, who won the MVP, whatever it was, 9 or 10 years ago, says, quote, I guess someone not in uniform came up with the idea. He's not feeling it. It just seems far too, you know, synthetic. So playing crowd noise inside stadium for players to hear is a better plan than just piping in the crowd noise for the TV audience at home, in or out.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that, BT, because it is artificial. It is going to feel fake. It's going to feel... I don't know, kind of corny if you're a Major League Baseball player. Music is different, but even music could be distracting. It would almost feel like you're in batting practice. because that's what happens at batting practice. You go out there early and their music is blaring. Guys have their hats on backwards. It's like this chill environment. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think limiting it to what the audience hears is more important. Because when we watch it and we see an empty stadium and there's no reactions, it's a different conversation. Mm-hmm. But when the players are trying to concentrate or be in this weird, I don't know, isolated, sterile environment, pumping in crowd noise that doesn't have any context doesn't make any sense.
But it will have context. They're going to only play it when something good happens. If a guy hits a three-run bomb, you know, boom, you bang in the music.
That's even worse, though. It's even because that's corny. It's like...
I don't think it's corny. My answer is in bounds. I mean, listen, if I'm good enough, and I know that it's become fairly common these days in Major League Baseball, I get it. It's a daily occurrence. But if I turn around a home run and I bang one 437 feet, it's going to ricochet off empty seats, understood, based on the virus. But as I'm running around the bases, I want to hear a little something, you know. I want to hear, like, snap. I got the power. You know, I want to hear something. That's, you know, just give me a little vibe.
Yeah, the better thing would be to have like a home run song. You know, like how they all have walkout songs, whatever it is. You have a walkout song. If you have a big hit or a home run, have like a home run trot
That's
song.
Fine.
That would
fine.
Be cool.
It's better than nothing.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
I was bouncing around last night, and I know we mocked it when it came out from the outside. It looks like a steel warehouse. But the Rangers ballpark, they were on TV last night. It's actually pretty good.
Inside or outside?
Inside. Yeah. Inside. They have they did a good job. Our buddy CJ Nikowski was on the call. He's part of the Rangers broadcast crew, as we know. And they did a nice job. I guess I didn't know this until I saw it. In center field, there's actually like suspended seating. So just imagine, and they have the sideline reporter, I guess not sideline, but the on-field reporter, whatever. She was out there, and she's scared of heights. And it's this kind of thing where, like, it's not connected to any sort of base. So it's literally just suspended.
It's obviously above. Something above is supporting you?
Yes, something above is supporting you.
Does it move?
No, it doesn't.
No. So it's just not there.
Like the Buccaneer ride.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Great Adventure.
Exactly.
The pirate ship. No, it's a cool-looking yard. If I had to give you a comparison, it felt like hopefully it's better. But
yeah.
It felt a little bit like a mix of the Diamondbacks Park, a little bit of Minute Maid with the Astros. Maybe that hybrid, but with some newer amenities. It looked pretty – actually, the inside – based on the way we railed on the outside, the inside was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, because it doesn't fit. Architecturally, it doesn't fit to where it's sitting down there. But at the end of the day, all that matters is what it's going to look like on camera indoors and whether or not the players appreciate that, which they obviously will.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Coming up, we'll have a good conversation here. James Harden with a pretty strong conversation with AI and some things they share in common, the way Harden is judged and everything diagnosed about his game. Interesting parallels. Tiki and I will kick it around coming up next hour, too. That is right around the corner. Sit tight. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.